Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, we had a great answer to prayer.
Yes.
That we're going to be talking about just happened this Sunday. It is so encouraging. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to be sharing that with you today and probably even on tomorrow's program. But we want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world, and on the Gulf Coast in the what we call the Glory Zone. I was listening this morning to Isaiah 67, I think, when he says that, you know, I'm going to pour out my glory and all the nations are going to come. And it makes me think about Isaiah, Apostle Isaiah, talking about it as well. You know,
that's right.
And just if you haven't yet made reservations to come to the Gulf Coast, begin to put that on your calendar.
Oh, yes.
Begin to get a vision. God is about to pour out. He's going to touch all the nations, but he's going to do something so powerful on the Gulf Coast of America, actually the Florida, Alabama, Mississippi Gulf Coast. That the nations are going to come. You're going to be able to come and be blessed. And in the greatest judgment, one of the greatest judgments that happened to Israel. And it was because they missed the time of their visitation. And think about it. The Messiah was walking through Jerusalem.
That's right.
And the ramifications of that, as we know the history and the things that's happened. But how many times has people missed, people that have cried out and prayed for God to miss the time of God's visitation? And this visitation is going to be so large. I mean, you're going to have to make, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have to make a huge effort to miss it. And I just want to encourage you, if you are on the Gulf Coast and you know, the Lord that you've been talking about and the one that you've been reading about and the one that you've been praying to, Jesus, is about to do an awesome thing. You know, if he told us, we wouldn't even believe it, as he talks about in Hosea, you know, utterly larger than we could ever imagine. You know, he says, behold, I'm about to do something that if I told you, you wouldn't even believe it. But, you know, because of all the things that he's shown us and he's shown others, and you bring all that together because we all know in part and prophesy in part, but we hear it's a there's wisdom and a multitude of counsel. And you look at the Lighthouse Prophecy, if you haven't heard that yet, and it had been vandalized and things had happened to it, but God is going to revive it. And we're seeing it revived. We're just seeing it revived. And it's exciting to see it. We're seeing the new leaderships. As a matter of fact, probably can't even see it, but I have a battleship sitting right here on the right-hand side of me, along with some anointing oil and all that, represents some things that God has said. And when you think about leaderships. You know, they're very important. If we didn't have a navy, because you know we're surrounded by every continent, surrounded by water, by the way, if you didn't know that, and that our navy patrols the seas around us. And they keep us safe from the awareness that they're there, keeps people on their own continent from coming over. They have to deal with our Navy before they come to our shores. Some of the prophecy that John Paul Jackson talked about was the question is going to be asked because of something that happens to America. Where was our Navy? And a word that came out from Chuck Pierce, I believe it was around November 22nd is when I got a hold of it. I think he was in Jerusalem when he gave it. That you know, Russia's cooking up some stuff in Cuba and some things that we've been hearing. But listen, it's amazing, you know, when Jesus was about to be born, the greatest schemes of darkness were forming. And sometimes you can focus on the greatest schemes of darkness, not realizing darkness is trying to destroy your blessing, trying to get you focused on the darkness. I mean, you can't avoid, were you aware of the darkness? Because God's people were destroyed for a lack of understanding that. But when all these things happen, that's when we look up because we're believers. And that the glory of the Lord is upon us and the light of God is over us. We're children of the light, and our redemption, the blessing and the provision of God is near. I mean, even Jesus had to be transported from place to place by the voice of God to his parents in a dream, leading them to place. I mean, you have to be aware of the evil schemes. But just think about, I want to encourage you, because yeah, there's some pretty wild things going on. So many wild things going on. A lot of people just shut down and go, okay, you know, I'm just going to just stare at the wall. I'm going to knit, right? So knit, crochet.
Right.
In
my spare time.
In spare time. And Saints logos, though. And Rosie Greer. Rosie's needle pointing. He's crocheting.
I wouldn't bring up that team today.
All right. You had time to watch football. No. Anyway, so the... So think about this, you know, and we're going to talk about some amazing things that just break through, that just happen, and we're deeply grateful in the glory zone, that seedbed for, I believe, an outpouring. And not just one location. I'm talking about just imagine, you know, the fullness of God and the thickness of his glory and, you know, the heavenly atmosphere just enveloping the Gulf Coast. And no matter where you're going, you're just experiencing God. I mean, even in the grocery stores and all these things. And so, but here's God's answer is about to come. I mean, he's about to, his spirit is about to hover over the womb of Mary, and she's going to conceive God, Emmanuel, in the flesh. But all along, you have these, you know, astrologers and
magicians.
The ones that are, you know, reading the stars, and they're
astronomers,
and the religious folks are trying to bring out their slide rule over scriptures to determine when's this going to happen and when's that going to happen. And people are worried about power. You know, am I going to lose my church? You know, am I going to lose my
ministry?
You know, am I going to lose the kingdom? That's what Herod was saying, right? He was saying, you know, let me know if there's going to be a move of God, because this is going to be a move of God. I just want to go worship there. Right?
Absolutely.
And that wasn't what was in his heart. Well, he was fearful that what he thought he had, which God was allowing him to be a part of what he was doing.
Right.
You know, he was king of God's people. That, so when the Magi come to, you know, with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, when they're coming to find Jesus, because they're being led by the Lord and by the star to be able to go, you know, see Jesus. And this is the time we're talking about right now, even, you know, around Christmas. You think that's what we're talking about. And so here, this beautiful thing is taking place. But the very king they talked to and shared, and cast in your pearls before swines, can almost cause a lot of death, because this conversation that the Magi had with King Herod cost many, many lives. Many, many lives. Because they knew accurately who to follow and how to get there, how to identify the move of God, the presence of God, the gift of God. And they shared it with somebody who couldn't care less about, you know, even though he was very religious and at the temple and all that. I mean, he was more concerned about his power and his influence and all that. And that's how you can tell the difference, because it's, you know, you got God's kingdom and you got everything else, you know? And so, and if you're both in God's kingdom, you should celebrate a blessing and what God's doing. Anyway, so here he is. And so they tell King Herod, this is so important, because I want us not to miss, you know, focus just on the evil strategy and realize, but we got to be aware of what's going on. But understand, God's about to do something so awesome. I mean, think about, I mean, maybe you heard about the glory, maybe you sang songs about the glory. But, you know, my experiences with the glory of God had just, you're built for the glory. Your flesh is not built for the glory, but you're built for the glory of God. I mean, you don't. It's just, stay tuned for more of the glory. Anyway, so here, So here, his presence is our reward. I mean, eternity, people go, you know, what's heaven going to be like? Am I going to have a condo? Am I going to have a mansion? Am I going to have whatever it is? What kind of streets or goals? Like, it's his presence is, you know, Piper, when he writes his book about 90 minutes in heaven, he says he was 90 minutes there. He's back. It's just the sound of heaven is so awesome that it travels through you and brings you such great pleasure. I mean, God loves you and he wants to spend eternity with you. He saved you. He gave his son to die for you so he could be with you, but you have to make him the Lord of your life. But you have to understand there's another kingdom going on. You know, there's Lucifer's kingdom and he makes war against the saints. And so if he hears something's about to happen, and he knows that the greatest harvest the earth has ever seen is about to take place, and he knows a glory zone is about to be established in a region that's going to, the nations are going to come, like Isaiah said, to be able to experience the glory of God. I mean, you're going to see things happen. And so, but while this, you know, King Herod was like scheming, I could imagine, I mean, they don't talk about the details in scripture, but I mean, his outcome was he went to begin, since they didn't tell him exactly who it was, and they didn't find it till they showed up that it was Jesus in the manger. I mean, he just went around trying to find everybody in that age range. You know, did you come to this city during this time frame? I mean, were you born during this time? Did you mention anything about the glory zone? Have you heard anybody talking about this move of God? Did you hear anybody that said that the answer is short? Did anybody, is there another king around here other than me? I mean, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
Right? Because understanding how kings, and it's difficult for these generations of America to understand that we broke loose from kings to be up under King Jesus, up under God. You know, all of our rights come from God, as our Constitution says. But if you were a king, you were a king the day you were born, and then they just kind of raised you up. You know, and that's why, you know, anyway. So the day that Jesus was born, he felt there was competition between him. And so when you start seeing competitiveness, and it's like, well, somebody's, you know, not fighting, not in the kingdom of God. They're actually fighting for their kingdom, their reputation. You know, they want to be the one. They want to see, Herod wanted to see his name up in lights. You know, he wanted to write books and post stuff. Right? I'm just saying, you know, it's like, there's no fear of God. It's just the fear of losing personal influence, I guess, or something, recognition, you know, built out of fear and inadequacies and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so just like Saul, I mean, Saul was very fearful, but even though here's it's the savior of all mankind is born, and within that time frame of a couple of years, evil strategies now from this king, he went around trying to kill everybody, trying to kill the answer, the key to eternal life for man, forgiveness of sins, Jesus, the Son of God. And so a lot of people, I mean, it was horrific and bloody, and there was bloodshed, and it was wailing of mothers who lost their child. And it was just, I mean, he was killing everyone that he could that possibly could have been the answer. But God preserved Jesus. He spoke, so you got to be able to be aware of the Herod's evil strategies, who ended up being eaten by worms, and understand, don't miss out, because the blessing of God is here. And focus on the blessing, focus on what God wants to do, and realize if you hear what the Spirit's saying to you, to the churches, abiding with the Lord, go to iabide.org if you haven't got an abiding plan yet, and you'll be like the Magi, because when the Magi were told to come back to Herod, but you know what? They were abiding. You know what the Lord told them, don't go back to Herod. You go back a different direction. And that's what God will do. God will lead you. You want to be led into this blessing. And I'm going to encourage all those in our viewing area and listening area, all over, but also in the glory zone on the Gulf Coast, begin to pray. Say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of what you're doing. It's all about you, Jesus. And just begin to believe him to be able to just rip open the heavens over the Gulf Coast and just begin to pour out an awesome, glory-filled movement of God that shakes the nations. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Are students compelled to do an assignment that goes against their beliefs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My second grade daughter was required to do yoga in her phys ed class, and I have requested a meeting with the teachers, but I wondered if he had some ideas on how I should best approach the subject with them.
Well, there's a couple of things you can do, and one of the things that I would suggest is you go right to the teacher and ask directly for your child to be opted out of a religious exercise in the public schools. You know, it's one thing to talk about a variety of different religious beliefs in the context of an educational setting. It's another thing to require a student to participate in a religious exercise, and compelling participation in that is not something that should be allowed, and we would suggest that in that case you go directly to the teacher, get a successful result. But let me also get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice so we can get you some direct help on this.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. Well, Merry Christmas to all of our viewers and listeners. We are so excited. Today begins 12 days of Christmas on our CTNWHBR program and VFN Radio. We're going to be having a moment. Did we just kind of have that moment about something? And today we have something special for you. But as we're continuing this conversation, what happens Sunday is just so encouraging. We're so thankful for in the Gulf Coast and Pensacola, Florida, for Pastor Lynn Ballinger and Pastor Aaron James, who hosted a conversation. Just kind of gave his whole night to a conversation that we've been praying for a long time, been trying to have. Every time I try to have the conversation, I lose friends. It's amazing. And the conversation is, what was the name of the event? Diversity?
Unity and Diversity, I believe.
Unity and Diversity in the church, because we're called to the nations. And it's not just like a nation. Called to a nation does not mean that we're, so many people want to go on missions because they want to travel. Some people go in the military. They don't want to defend the country. They want to go to different countries.
Yeah.
But we're called to the nations, and America's a melting pot of nations. That word comes from the word ethnos, ethnic groups, where races come from, the word race. And so we're called to tell everybody of every ethnicity about Jesus Christ. And when we come together as the body of Christ, we should look like that. We should look like the nations should be amongst us. And so, you know, in 2013, and we're going to have this, we're going to talk about this, probably this program and our next program, so make sure you catch it. But we're just celebrating it because there's so many things that happen. And what we'll be talking about this Sunday night in the Glory Zone, a conversation began thanks to Pastor Lynn Ballinger and Pastor Aaron James, who hosted a panel of five pastors, which are very important because two of these pastors that were on there were two of the ones the Lord spoke to me about when I was on a sabbatical and spending time with them. I called one of them when I was on the sabbatical and met with the other one after the other sabbatical in 2014. Let me, God is just. He is just. And justice is not really hard to bring about unless we resist it. Think about that. And justice means putting things back in its order, its right order. And no one cries for justice because people see justice as a wrong viewpoint of it. But it's just like putting things back in the right order again. And so if we resist that, then force comes our way and disappointment and great loss. And sometimes loss of life comes because we resist getting back into its order again. So one important thing to find out, you know, what is the order for everything? What is, that's the word of God. That's why you want to get in the word of God and find that out. But in 2013, I spent a year God just downloading and just, it's like a fire hydrant of revelation about America and America's history. And I always thought for myself, this is how we perceive things quite often, that if you don't have a problem, nobody has a problem. I mean, I don't have any issues, but I mean, let's just move on. That's naive because everybody has different areas. I mean, obviously I got some issues, but I'm talking about that particular area, right? And so of race. And that's just really naive because the reality is it is whatever it is. And when we're attacked by strategies of darkness, it comes with our thought life, you know, the way that we think. And we wage war against the way we think by the word of God. We find out what God says, how we're supposed to think. And then we take the thoughts that we did have, and we take God's word and put it over those thoughts, and we take them captive, and we go, this is the way I'm supposed to think. I'm going to reject the thoughts that came with my life and maybe generations or whatever influenced someone. And I'm going to submit because I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. And so we got to find, we can't just say, well, this is how my family always, we were born again. You know what I'm saying? We have a new family now.
Right.
And our family is beautiful, multicultural, multi-race, as many nations as we tell that get saved, that's what it will look like.
Yeah. I think oftentimes too, because we look at ourselves just based within the nation that we live or the culture or environment, but we don't see ourselves as we really are, global Christians with a citizenship that's not even here on this earth, but somewhere else in heaven, you know?
Right. And one thing we talked about on Dr. King's birthday, what is the article on the torch?
It's actually, it's titled the 50th year anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream. How much has changed?
I thought
okay.
That was mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, the
my ears are here.
How much has changed? Read that title again.
50th year anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. How much has changed?
Yeah, and so that we were just looking at it, you know, how much has changed? And you can see this, we're not going to go over it again, but we have to ask ourselves, you know, how much has changed? Because as a church, as Christians, as the Bible being our guide, and we look at America, the American church, you know, where are we in this and what God says about all of our rights do come from God? And, that we are supposed to love each other. We're defined by our love for each other. Anyway, so I spent 2013, you know, going through this whole journey of, I mean, it was, I'll be honest with you, it was just so tragic that I didn't think you just, I mean, the more you look at yourself and the more you look at men, our mistakes and our sin, that it gets really overwhelming.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, we can't really connect to the sinfulness of sin, the utter sinfulness of sin, unless you just look at it. And so there's, you know, the sin of oppression and slavery. And I mean, God, on one particular encounter, God showed me a vision. And this vision, I was like sitting there on this floor with these ledgers, because there used to be, for all these technical people, there used to be books. They keep ledgers and books, and they would just write it out. And there was ledgers for states, and the states, and states that proclaimed that they didn't have slavery, they had ledgers that they actually sold slaves to the states that had slavery. And America took over the cotton trade of the world because it was built on the backs of free labor, free oppressed labor, on the African American.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so all these things was coming my way, and I'm just like, you know, what do you do with this? And then you're running into racism in the church. You know, you're hearing in all races, you know, talking about other races. Like, how are we going to win all races if we only want to be with our race?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, oh my goodness, it's just flying by. Yeah. And then, you know, so you're going through all these, this journey. And I talked about this. I'm not going to talk much about it, but I had a chance to see this movie called The Help. And you can make sure you can reference that on this mm-hmm. particular article, WFN Torch. You'll see
on Clear Play.
On Clear Play, yes. But make sure we talk about that kind of stuff. We talk about mm-hmm. watching on Clear Play. But it, I realized after about 2 weeks, the Lord just spoke to me and said, you know, I was that age group of that young girl who was a reporter, journalist, writer, which is the age group that it's the in-between. Mm-hmm. And right now there's another in-between generation, but this in-between generation that you know, I didn't have issues. I was actually raised by, you know, African-American women and who, you know, mothered me and did these, you know, wonderful, just did, you know, mm-hmm. from the time of a child. And I grew up watching Florida, you know.
Good times,
you know. I mean, it wasn't any, you know, and I couldn't even connect with JJ's younger brother, you know,
Michael,
because, you know, that wasn't my journey.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, past generations and future generations, it was kind of like that gap.
Mm-hmm.
You got to begin to realize that's what's going on. And so my life was not segregated.
Mm.
You know, I didn't have a segregated life until I got saved. And then I got saved, you know, I joined church and I fellowship with different churches, and I noticed the churches are segregated. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, you got to see this powerful little video that kind of just shows it's kind of like my story. And God, I really believe if we want God to move, I know for a fact we cannot reject the nations and expect God to bring the nations into the glory zone. It's time for us to begin to reach out and just connect. And unity is not unity around people like yourself. Unity is around all of us in the body of Christ coming together in the context of what God wants to do. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We'll give a big shout out to all of our television network out there. We're just very thankful for you and encourage everyone to think about supporting local Christian television. And one way you can do that with VFNTV and the Daily Radio program is visit our sponsors. And, you know, shop with them, encourage them, and become a partner, because that's the way we help make it all happen.
That's right.
How it happens. And we're thankful for all those that are standing with us today and become a sponsor. I mean, think about this. Of all the things that you could be doing as borders are being overpoured by the sea of humanity, as leaders are going to play golf and do fundraisers, as the churches, they're trying to minimize, hide the cross, hide statues of Jesus, pull prayer out of schools, mess marriage, all these different things. I mean, I think it's bad. I mean, I enjoy the Bass Pro Shop. I mean, I really do. And hey, if you want to become a sponsor, you know, you can. But understand this. This is where you need to put your dollar under the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking someone whose heart is dependent upon him. And right now, understand 24/7 VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, we're putting it out there. We are putting it out there. Nobody is putting it out there in the context of what we're doing. And God's speaking. I mean, we're having dreams and visions, and we're actually sharing other prophetic words and dreams and visions. But who's doing that? And we don't apologize for it.
Nope.
We're thankful for it. We want to know what God has to say. And we'll allow God to interpret that to you.
And we even, not only that, we even make it available to you continually by going to VFNTV.com. If you saw a program or missed a program, or you want to share a program, or you want to go deeper into a program, it's all right there. It doesn't go away. It's right there on VFNTV.com. And when you go there, you'll actually see sponsors that are standing with us. Visit them. Click on those banners. Say thank you. Send them an email. Or become one today.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. Christ the Lord, the
newborn. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about the nations. We're talking about race and the church and the journey that that personally I had gone on. I began to speak. I'm leading into a leadership meeting that happened in January 2014. And just what God is making known. And quite often, this is what a lot of us say. We go, well, you know, I don't have any, that's not a problem with me. And then we disassociate ourselves from the answer or the solution.
Right.
Versus like, if it is a problem, if it is an issue, if it's a present sin in the church, we all have an obligation to help hear God about how to get out of this.
That's right.
And so when I'm coming through that, and of course, this movie, The Help, that I talked about, 2 weeks later, God just began me on this journey. And, you know, with it, by the time I got around to the leadership gathering, where all the leaders kind of come together around the nation in January of 2014, you know, I almost didn't even talk about it because I was just so beat up by it. It didn't, everybody that I've talked to about it, I mean, even the end of 2013 ended with the John Wayne movie. I said, I'm going to just get my head. I'm going to watch an old John Wayne movie that was on whatever Turner Classics thing or something. And I'm like, this is John Wayne. But it's John Wayne. So I'm watching this movie with John Wayne. And in the movie, 2013, the movie that I looked and watched for a distraction, that John Wayne had to come and rescue his cook, which was African-American, because four or five cowboys were throwing a rope around him and they were fixing to hang him.
Wow.
They were going to lynch the African-American because he was African. I'm like, dear God, I remember calling Barbara. I'm like, I can't get away from this issue.
Wow.
And so I'm coming into January just beat up by this whole experience, what the church is talking about. Let's sing a song. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it's like, you know, I felt like, why can't we all just get along? It's like, and people say, well, we are. But what it is they're getting along in cliques with the whole body. And so we have the gathering in 2014, and the leaders come together. So we begin this journey, the whole journey I talked about. I'll just tell you, you know, a pastor literally brings his podium to me. We'll make it a related link. He repents for what he knows has been said behind the podiums. God has shown me about that. You can go to a related link. And he just brought that to me in repentance. And I said, well, if you bring that to me for what you're talking about, this is what we're going to do with it. And we just disposed of it. And he said he's cool with that. Matter of fact, God showed up. The presence of heaven showed up when we were talking about it, this pastor and I. And he's saying, anyway, the details were on that. And so the night we disposed of it, when these leaders came together, we disposed of it. Because see, the reason why the church is in the condition it is what's being preached, what's being taught behind the podium, what's being spoken out. You know, we are what's being spoken to us. Mm-hmm. And we got to begin to speak the word of God again. And the word of God is far-fetched from racist. But the word of God, God created us all. We're all created in the image and the likeness of God. So, you know, amongst all the other kind of issues. And so the night that we disposed of this thing, because we just did it before God, you know, just humility to say, God, you know, just as a symbolic thing of repenting for anything that we said that caused any problems. And we just want to stand on behalf of any other pastors that have said things they shouldn't say. And we just want to repent, right? That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the night we did this, suddenly, it was a powerful night. Suddenly, as we were looking in the heavens and watching, you know, ramifications for what we were just getting, whatever. And a message comes in from Fox News. And what was the message, John?
Hand of God in the stars. Hand of God.
So the moment that we are dealing with, put that up so you can see, the moment we were dealing with and repenting on behalf of what's being taught behind the pulpits, I'll just be frank with you. You know, God laid on our heart, and I told the pastor this, and we got a prophetic word at our television studios from a prophet that said, yeah, God is so angry with what's being said behind the pulpits in certain areas that he took the pulpit on top of a pyramid-like thing and just shoved it in the ground. And so God was angry with what we're saying. We got to say the right thing, right? And so so we're like, dear God, let us repent. Mm-hmm. And we just burnt it, you know? Yeah. We just burnt it. You know what I'm saying? We just burnt the thing. And we always do that anyway when we come together, kind of like have a campfire scene. It's like, hey, why not just do that?
We need more wood.
Yeah, and it was vicious fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Like, yeah. God.
But the embers were going into the heavens, and it was like, it was amazing how God began to speak through that, saying, you know, what you say from your pulpit sets fires in people's hearts. It sets fires in communities. It sets fires. The thing about it, are you setting godly fires?
Mm.
Are you setting worldly fires? You know, that was the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, strange fire.
And it's just our strange fire. And as these embers were going into the heavens, all of a sudden, as you're looking right now, you can see right now on your screen, this appeared in the heavenlies, and it was documented by Fox News. And the hand of God appears. It was on January the 9th, 2014. And all they could do is describe it. It was just the hand of God. It was just an amazing thing.
Wow.
And you can pull that thing down. But this is when I'm downloading, you know, what God had given to me about this. And one of the things also that as I began to share, there was this whole 2020 thing with the barbershop.
Oh yes, 2020.
In New York. And what they did was they videoed this whole scene, and they had two actors come into a barbershop, and they were having, you know, a mixed race couple, and they just watched people's reaction.
In Harlem.
It was in Harlem. And they were showing how, you know, how the spirit of racism. So you had a lot of, you know, African-Americans, some African-Americans were attacking another African-American who had a Caucasian girlfriend or whatever, but they were actors. Those the couple was actors, but so much was revealed. But the biggest thing that was revealed, and we'll make a link so you can just watch this. It's probably the most watched 2020 segment that there has been. But we'll make sure a link's available for you. But the most compassionate person in this barbershop was an African American lady who openly says that she was a lesbian, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she went with tears and she hugged the one person and she looked at the person who was being so violent or vicious. And she says, that's not how you do that. This is not how you do that. And she was so loving and so kind. And you're just like, man, she's just so kind and so loving. And the thing about it, wouldn't that be cool if the church was that loving and kind?
Mm.
That if when people are spewing out all of this anger and all this, that we could calm a fits of rage by that love and compassion, because she had compassion, you know, for, and it was just powerful. It was just a very powerful scene. It's the most watched scene, I believe, reportedly on 2020, because you get to see how people react to the real deal when they're and they're safe. They feel like they're in an environment they can say what they want to. And then you see people stand up and defend, you know, that situation. But that's the world's viewpoint of it. But as the church, we should look like that. We should be, every nation mm-hmm. should be amongst us. And so I began to talk about these different things. And then the Lord had my heart to begin to show things about our history in America. I mean, there is terrible history in America. And we just finished up going through The Torch and the Sword. And if you haven't read The Torch and the Sword by Rick Joyner, you need to read that book. As a matter of fact, it may go up right now on the screen if you can see it. But you got to get it and read it, because this is who we are as believers. This is what we're called to do. But there was this young girl in Louisiana that, John, you're giving me her name when we're talking here. And she was just going to school. But people in this community, in the name of the church, were preaching from pulpits that the races shouldn't mix. Mm-hmm. And that these people of color should not go into the school.
Ruby Bridges.
Yeah, Ruby Bridges. And Ruby Bridges is the one, maybe you can see right now, her and the president are standing up in front of this painting. And you're thinking, why was the president with her, and what's that painting? That's her as a little girl when she was going to school. And they were screaming and yelling things at her, and just, it was just the devil had a hold of these people. And they were attacking this young girl with just terrible things and attacks. And this happened, this is America. And she was just going to school. And so we're going through all this. The Torch and the Sword talks about a 12-year-old girl and how God's going to use her, but we got to be able to help her, empower her. Mm-hmm. But she walked into the face of danger. Then you look at Ruby Bridges, right? Mm-hmm. You go, man, she did the same thing at 5 years old. She did that. And what was manifesting was, you know, Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and evil spirits. And so what you're seeing is what had a hold of those particular people that were coming against African Americans just trying to go to school, and mm-hmm. especially this young girl. That's the devil. Those are demons talking out of those people.
Yeah,
that's what mm-hmm. that is. I mean, you got to just nail it. That's what that is. And when you hear, like Peter just said to Jesus, this is what he said. He said, Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, Satan, get behind me. You got in your mind the things of man, not the things of God. Well, he wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he knew that demonic activity got a hold of Peter.
That's right.
And was using Peter to say something against him to stop him from doing what the Father planned for. He almost tempted me not to do the Father's will, is what he said. Mm. And so when you start seeing a big mob or people saying stuff like that, understand behind that, if you could see the spiritual aspect of what's going on, there's a lot of people held captive to do his will. And that's what was going on.
When you get to call it like it is, I mean, that's exactly yeah. what it was. People try to say it's something else. No, it's evil and it's wrong.
Yeah, it's evil and it's wrong. And especially when it's integrated into the context of, and this is obviously definitely not all of America, but this was what you see on the videos, what you see that's happening, and it was prevalent, was then the manifestation of some of those people that were held captive was they took the emblem, think about this, the emblem of God meeting men, paying for men's sin on the cross itself, and they put it in front of the yard or the place where somebody who's made in the image of likeness of God lives, and they burned the cross. They burned what represents God meeting man in the yard of a person who's made in the image and likeness of God. We got some issues. We got to talk about this. Wow. And it's not a rehashing thing. It's like we got to get past this as the church, not the nation. The nation is going to do what's going to do. But with the church begins to move right, the nation will be blessed. More, we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
16 grams of fat.
Out of 2 ounces. That's huge.
Six grams of saturated fat. Fat, you can explain this to us because we
don't. It's a lot.
790 milligrams of sodium.
You could just rub that on your ham.
That's a third of
it. It would save it.
Your daily intake of what you should have.
But you could you could buy a can of Spam, and if your other food's not preserved, you could just rub the Spam on the other food. If it's got 790 grams of salt, you know, sodium, that's huge. So that could actually, it could be a preservative. You could just take the Spam and just rub it onto your chicken. Or I just don't know what. I'm trying to figure what would you want to preserve? And there is, good to know, there's only, well, there's 7 grams of protein, so there's something in there.
Mm, yeah.
And there's no sugar. So those that are on the sugar diet, you know, all the Spam you won't do, right? And there's no fiber, so you're going to need to take something afterwards, so we'll move on.
A lot.
You know what I'm saying? A company, you know, give it a train ride on through. Anyway, so I mean, you think about this, that... I mean, if you look at their Spam website, by the way, this is amazing. They actually have it in sandwiches. They have it in eggs. They have it in some croissant-looking thing. They have it in little Western egg roll Spam. Look at that. Everything in my... We are missing something here. We have been looking at Spam the wrong way.
I have never recipes. Considered Spam a health alternative.
Oh, wow.
If you're trying to cut sugar out or tofu, if you like, think about this. If, just like what you're saying, if you're wanting to apply Spam to your chicken, if you're out of salt, you can reach for the Spam. I never would have thought about that.
Just rub it on your food. You don't even have to eat it. It's 900 some grams. You can even have sushi Spam. I'm saying I have a sushi Spam.
Buffalo Spam burger.
A Buffalo Spam burger.
Wow.
You can have Spam wrapped in rice with some seaweed around it. You can have Spam over your eggs with slices of orange. Oh, you run some toast there, right? You put cheese and Spam on your bread. Oh, just Spam kebabs.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we have this meeting, and we're going to have to continue. Make sure you join us in our next program, because as you can see right here, this Sunday night, the conversation began. And we're going to talk more how this built up for us. But this panel you're looking at right now, you had, and the title of this whole conversation began.
Unity and Diversity.
In the church that we're supposed to be a multiracial church. We're supposed to, that's what we're supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And because we're supposed to go to all the nations. And on that, we had Pastor Josh Walnoff.
Joshua Walnoffer.
Walnoffer. And these are different pastors. Aaron James, Lynn Ballinger, Dan Livingston, and Greg Burns. And what's interesting, join the next program, because we're going to be talking about this, but also how, and if anybody's going to have this conversation, you know, Lynn Ballinger would be the one
definitely
to have it and definitely host it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not, if you're in the Pensacola area and you're looking for a church to be a part of, that you want this to be in your heart, I think Jubilee Christian Center.
International, yes.
International Christian Center. You'll be blessed there. Also, they have a school.
Yes, they do. JCA.
And the associate was there also on this panel, Pastor Aaron Jones.
James.
And but two of these particular panelists that were there, I'm going to be talking about the next program about how when I was in time of prayer and sabbatical, the Lord spoke to me about them. So when this conversation comes up, because when we began to meet in that leadership gathering that I was talking about in 2000, in January of this year, that you know, we did what we did, the hand of God appears, we go through the Ruby Bridges story. People are seeing for the first time, because we have young ministers that didn't even know about that history. Sure. We actually had a mother and a daughter, both are ministers from two different states, were together in that leadership, and the daughter began to understand the mother, who was older, that her mother, you know, because of experiencing racism, you know, became a racist herself. And she's African-American, but when you see what happens, you can understand why. If you don't love me, you say, God doesn't love me, then I don't love you. That's kind of about how it works.
And nor did she want to serve God in the way he was being presented.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, with that, the daughter and the mother began to have empathy for each other. And we titled this gathering, you know, prophetic gathering was entitled, you know, empathy. You know, we serve a high priest
His name is Jesus, who was tempted in every way just like us, yet without sin, who is able to empathize with us so that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. And so the key to intercession and being there for others is to have empathy. So if we don't understand your story, I can't empathize with you. If I don't know the history, I can't talk intelligently about the future. If we're talking about, hey, we want to be able to quote, save America, and it's like, do you even know America? Do you know her history? Do you know? Imagine this, and I've talked about this before. Imagine if everything in America so far is pre-Christian, and what's really going to happen in the future, we're going to have an authentic Christian nation. I mean, where we're going to all get together and say, you know what? It's Jesus. You know, it's Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And just the whole thing begins. Just imagine the fullness of that. And so it was about empathizing. And so God, the presence of God, the presence of heaven showed up in our leadership gathering in such a powerful way. And it was, remember how powerful it was? Yeah, and the love of God and the empathy and the understanding, and you know, all races were pretty much there, I think.
Yeah.
And so it was just beautiful. And what happens when God's glory shows up, when his presence shows up, I mean, just your hearts melt, and it's just so easy to just move in what he wants. And that's the glory we're talking about, the glory zone. But part of that is we got to be able to get rid of wrong mindsets. We got to be able to repent and just say, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, and quite often, you know, people are bothered by what they don't know. But today's way culture works, nobody knows anybody. They say that I got 1,000 friends. It's like, what do you mean? My Facebook is like, you don't know those people. You don't know them. But spending time with people, and you know, guess who's coming for dinner? We actually wanted to start
that.
Yeah, we wanted to have billboards everywhere and say, guess who's coming to dinner, and start having the church invite each other for dinner. You'll be surprised how many people of all races, you know, struggle with, well, I'm not going to eat at this person's house. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this or do that. All races, you know, I've seen it all. And it's like, but we sit down and we dine with each other and we eat with each other, and you start finding out, they just get to know each other. And it's like, if you don't eat my food and eat on my plates, then you don't really love me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And if I do clean, I'm going to wash them up. Yeah, but you know, that's the whole thing is, you know, and if you truly don't have issues with this, then it doesn't matter who's leading, and it doesn't matter who's driving the car. It just doesn't matter. We're talking about the church now. We got so much to talk about, because this particular meeting that took place, that you saw briefly up there, that took place Sunday, is an answer to prayer. And it's the beginning, I think, a seabed of what God's going to do. God has heard the cries of our heart, and this has to be dealt with and repented for, so that the release of what's going to happen in this particular area. And Escambia County, in the area that meeting was taking place, at the same time we were having that leadership meeting, it was being taught in one of the oldest cities of America that Escambia County was the most racist, had the most racist history. And some other things. We'll have that available to you on the VFN Torch. We can repent of this. We're all the same. We're creating the image and the likeness of God. Dear Lord, hear our cry. Forgive us for our sin. Bring true unity, just like Azusa Street, because that was true unity. Join us on our next program. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the